welcome to Prime Time. Today, of course, is Thursday, 17th of September, 2020. Okay, I'm a little bit distracted here, but it's okay. The police in Lagos again arrested 35 members of the Joint Action Front and some civil society groups protesting recent increase in pump price of petrol and electricity tariff. The protest began at about 10.05 a.m. from the Nigerian Labour Congress office at Yaba, but along the way, the protesters who were heading towards Odualeba met a detachment of police who obstructed the peaceful march with five vans. Of course, you know, this is still an ongoing matter because the NLC has given the federal government 14 days to revert to the old price of tariff for electricity and fuel or face industrial action. And that 14 days will elapse on the 28th of September. Some interesting development as it relates to Edo State. The Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, has begun the distributions of sensitive materials to the 18 local government areas of Edo State ahead of next Saturday's governorship elections. Addressing journalists at the premises of the Central Bank of Nigeria, Benin, Mr. Timidi Warowe, the head of voter education and publicity, Edo INEC, said that the distribution commenced with the farthest local government areas. The elections are due in 2 days and everyone is ready and all eyes on that place. Let's hope that the recent attention given by international community as it relates to Nigerian politicians and Nigerian election would give everyone some heads up about what's about to happen, just in case they are involved in thwarting the democratic process. The World Health Organization on Thursday expressed worries over the current surge in cases of COVID-19 in Europe. WHO's regional director for Europe, Hans Kluge, expressed concern that the weekly cases now exceeded those reported during the March peak of the pandemic that should serve as a wake-up call. Speaking during a press briefing, Kluge says, quote, "We do not have a very serious situation unfolding before us as weekly cases have now exceeded those reported when the pandemic first peaked in Europe in March." Kluge expressed concern about all the 53 European member states, adding that everybody should learn the lesson from the first wave of COVID-19, which is no one is safe until everyone is safe. Last week, the region's weekly tally exceeded 300,000 patients. More than half of the European countries have reported a greater than 10% increase in cases in the past 2 weeks. Of those, 7 countries have seen newly reported cases increase more than twofold in the same period. Not a good thing we're hearing from Europe. But again, you wonder how Africa and Nigeria has fared in this. Fared really well. Let's hope we don't have a second wave. But elsewhere, the Minister of Transportation, Rotimi Amaechi, has disclosed that upon completion of the Lagos-Ibadan Railway project by December, the federal government would immediately commence the construction of the Eastern Rail Line, which connects Port Harcourt, Bonny, to Maiduguri. The minister stated this in Ibadan shortly after inspecting the level of work on all the stations across the Lagos-Ibadan Railway project. Amaechi said the planned commencement is subject to approval by the Federal Executive Council, while listing other projects in line for commencement to include the Kano Maradi line and the Ibadan to Kano section of Lagos to Kano rail line. You are listening to Prime Time on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, has condemned the sentencing of 13-year-old Umar Farouk to 10 years in prison for blasphemy. Umar was handed the harsh sentence by Aliyu Kanu, the same judge who passed a death sentence on Kanu musician Yahya Sharif Aminu for blasphemy after being found guilty of using disparaging language on Allah during a disagreement with his friend. Reacting, Peter Hawkins, UNICEF representative in Nigeria, in a statement released on Wednesday, condemned the ruling given by the judge. Hawking said the sentence contradicts the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of the Child, which Nigeria ratified in 1991. He also called on the Kano state government to urgently reverse the sentencing. UNICEF, in the statement reading in parts, UNICEF today expressed deep concern about the sentencing of 13-year-old Omar Farouk to 10 years imprisonment with minimal labor by the Kano State Sharia Court at Feli Hoki, Kano in northern Nigeria. The sentencing of this child, 13-year-old, to 10 years in prison with menial labor is wrong. It also negates all core underlying principles of child rights and child justice that Nigeria and, by implication, Kano State has signed onto. The sentence is now in contravention of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Nigeria ratified in 1991. You are listening to Prime Time on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. And the Ekiti State Governor, Dr. Kayode Fayemi, has identified youth empowerment as a means of checkmating crime rates in the society, stressing that his administration remained committed to its youth development and empowerment agenda. In sports, Nigeria has moved up two spots from 31st to 29th position in the latest FIFA World Rankings. The rankings were published on FIFA's official website only today. It means the Super Eagles are now the third best country in Africa, only behind Senegal, 20th, and Tunisia, 26th. Nigeria's openings in the 2021 AFCON qualifying series did not make any progress in the rankings. Benin Republic and Lesotho remained at 84th and 139th respectively, while Sierra Leone dropped to 119th. Also, there was no progress made by the Eagles' 2022 World Cup qualifying opponents Cape Verde, Central African Republic and Liberia. Cape Verde and Liberia are 78th and 152nd respectively, and Central African Republic dropped one spot to 110. You are listening to Prime Time on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. Of course, let's welcome our guest on today's edition of Prime Time, Mr. Tony Nwachukwu. It's been a while.
Quite good a while. I'm busy with the Igbo project.
Oh, well, here we go. So, what is the Igbo project?
Oh, well, we talked about sometime, let's say, I've talked of zoning the presidential power down southern Nigeria and southeast precisely.
Right.
So, we're on it. We are, my platform is the Nigerian Presidential Project 2023, and we have been moving around the country, establishing our structures. Tomorrow, I'll be in Lagos.
Okay.
For the inauguration of the Lagos State chapter.
Right.
We finished everything, and that is it.
So what's the mandate, though? What's the clear mandate of?
The clear mandate is simple. We are a pressure group, kind of.
Right.
We are persuading political parties. We are persuading political parties to do the needful. And we hope that by the time the elections in Edo and Ondo is over, the parties will return back to their desk for their conventions. So first and foremost, we'll be expecting the political parties to zone their national chairmanship position and restructure other internal operational structures of the party to reflect zoning for North and South. So, and we are apostles, we have been preaching rotation and zoning. I don't want to go too far, but I know that I'm on air, and we have reached all the 36 state governors, forum of governors, and the 109 senators, and 320 precisely of the House of Rep members. We have done that, and we are setting up our structure. We want to mobilize Igbos. We want Igbos for the first time. Igbo votes to count across the country in 2023. So APP is working.
Right. We understand that APC doesn't even have that zoning formula or even zoning arrangement in the first place. So how would that play out? Because, of course, there have been people saying things like, well, these things are not stated. And so because even the Southeast didn't support the APC, so why would they have to give the zoning to
the South? There is no way. The information is absolutely wrong, because I kept giving instances. The Southeast did not support MPN. Yeah, we produced a president in 1979.
Mm.
The Southeast did not support MPN. And Ishagari has, remember that Ishagari had served his next 4 years. You know what would have happened that period. So it's not an issue. It's an issue of rotation and zoning. I keep saying, stating this. There is a gentleman agreement between North and South, and then the confab of 1994-1995. I don't want to take your time, but down to the one of 2004 and 2005, there's a gentleman agreement among the ethnicities. And then if you want to know, I can proudly tell you that APC will zone their presidential ticket to Southeast.
We've seen a leader of the APC, Asiwaju Bola Tinubu, also making moves in his latest calculation. Because, of course, if it's zoned to the south, then that means he might be interested. Well, not might. What? We know that he is interested.
He should be interested, just like our late Abubakar Rimi was interested in 1999. Even the courts upheld that Rimi have right to do what? Contest. But the party had their business in their mind, and they executed it, and Obasanjo emerged. So he should be interested. Already he has a group called BAT.
Mm.
And I tell people that BAT is a dangerous bird. He's neither here nor there. So, but nevertheless, let's move on with today's program.
But are you wary? Are you people wary of his interests?
You are talking about Tinubu. We are talking about zone.
Yes, I mean
zoning, rotation, and zoning, and the individual is not the same. By the time APC conducts their emergency convention via the constitutional amendment, I can assure you, Tinubu will no longer be leader of the party. It's a guarantee.
Are you people going to meet him?
Well, it's about the constitutional of the party. That's being jigged now. It's being restructured. So at the end of the day, you will have a new thing. But it's not about Tinubu. It's about the presidential system. There's no way you have a party where the president wears presidential powers and some other person is the leader of the party.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny.
Barrister Alex Amujogu has just joined us. Good to have you. Good evening.
Good evening, Charles.
Barrister Alex, I want to reel this out to you so you have a reaction. I'm sure that you have been with this for a long time now. The Supreme Court, in a landmark decision, has upheld the right of a female child to inherit properties of her father. By this decision, the Apex Court has voided the Igbo age-long law and custom which forbid a female child from inheriting her father's or her late father's estate. The Supreme Court voided this tradition and custom on the grounds that it is discriminatory and conflicts with the provision of the Constitution. Supreme Court held that the practice conflicted with Section 421A and 2 of the 1999 Constitution. The landmark judgment was on the appeal marked SC 244-2004, filed by Mrs. Lois Chitoru Ukeje, wife of the late Lazarus Ubonna Ukeje, and their son, Eyinaya Lazarus Ukeje, against Miss Gladys Ada Ukeje, the deceased's daughter. Gladys had sued the deceased's wife and son before the Lagos High Court, claiming to be one of the deceased children and sought to be included among those to administer the deceased father's estate. The trial court found that she was a daughter to the deceased and that she was qualified to benefit from the estate of their father, who died intestate in Lagos in 1981. The Court of Appeal Lagos, to which Mrs. Lois Ukeje and Ina Ukeje appealed, upheld the decision of the court, prompting them to appeal to the Supreme Court. In its judgment, the Supreme Court held that the Court of Appeal Lagos was right to have voided the Igbo native law and custom that it disinherits female children. Justice Bode Rhodes Vivor, who read the lead judgment, held that no matter the circumstances of the birth of a female child, such a child is entitled to an inheritance from her late father's estate. Consequently, the Igbo customary law, which disentitles a female child from partaking in sharing of her deceased father's estate, is breach of Section 421 and 2 of the Constitution, a fundamental rights provision guaranteed to every Nigerian. As a matter of fact, there have been reactions to this. Well, we know that a certain bishop, Nwokolo, had welcomed the development, an Igwe Itodo from Nsukka, the prominent monarch in Osoka and the grand patron of Enugu State Traditional Rulers Council and the traditional ruler of Aji Autonomous Community in Igbo, Igboeze, North Local Government Area of Enugu State, Igwe Simeon Osisi Itodo, said the Supreme Court ruling cannot abolish the tradition and custom of the Igbos. What do you think?
That is a wide opposition. But the Supreme Court, from what you have read, just re-echoed what the law has always been. In our modern day Nigeria, under the Constitution of Nigeria, it guarantees the right of a person to own properties and the right to be free from discrimination. So the Supreme Court only re-emphasized that people possess the right to be free from discrimination. Thereby, a female child has equal right with other siblings to inherit their father's estate, whether especially when it is interstate. That is when the father did not make any will. That is interstate. So the Supreme Court just re-emphasized what the law is. And in our modern day Nigeria, native laws and customs can only become law or valid law if it passes some test that the law has already laid down. That's what we call inconsistency test. Any custom that is incompatible or inconsistent with the laws of the land, like this one that says don't discriminate against a person based on his or her
gender
or sex or origin, that custom will be nullified by the court. Any custom that is against what is called public policy, any custom that promotes promiscuity or that enhances evil, that custom cannot stand in the current day Nigeria. It is because it is against public policy. So any Igbo custom that is against public policy, the court will notify it because it did not pass the test of being in line with public policy. That's what we call the repugnancy test. This is a test that the law has set out that say that any custom that is repugnant to natural justice, equity and good conscience, such a custom cannot stand. So if a custom is unjust, like a custom that allows killing of twins, it's against natural justice, it's against equity, it's against good conscience. So that custom cannot stand. And the court had made it clear that any community or society that allows killing of twins or any of such like custom, such a custom cannot stand because it is repugnant to natural justice, equity, and good conscience. So we have four tests in which the modern law has laid down that any custom or native law of Igbo, whether Igbo land or Yoruba land or Hausa land, if their custom is repugnant to natural justice, if their custom is against public policy, if their custom is inconsistent with the laws of the land, such customs, to that extent, will be notified by the court for having failed the validity test that the law has provided. So this goes to show that we are no longer in that age in which people try to execute their native laws, which does not go in line, is incompatible with the modern-day society. Such a custom cannot stand. So any Igbo or traditional ruler that upholds a questionable custom in our land, same is liable to be notified by the court.
Right, but then what happens when we see people who are clearly going against that Supreme Court? I mean, the Igwes are saying clearly that this particular Supreme Court's pronouncement cannot override the custom.
That is they cannot stay in their house and be saying that. That is why we have the court of law. If any Igwe upholds a custom that is incompatible with the law, or if any Igwe upholds a custom that is immoral in nature, or against the repugnancy test, equity and good conscience, the Igwe will be dragged to court, and the court will question his integrity, and even make him to pay damages for the effect he has committed based on the practices he is upholding. That is why we have check and balances. So the court is there to sieve to remove the grain from the chaff. So whatever such has been done.
Why do you think that custom was first introduced by the Igbos in time past? Why was it in the first place seen a female child is not eligible to actually inherit the estate of the father?
You know, our forefathers are wise. Let me use the word wise. They're intelligent. So because of their orientation and their reasoning, they are seeing women as a helper. Not that the Bible says like they are a helper. They are not seeing them as an independent body. They are seeing them to having been infused to a man. So they don't have an independent share. Because whatever a man has, it belongs to the woman. So they are seeing the woman as property of his own. Such is the mentality. And whenever a female child grows up, she will be married off from the father's
home.
And another man will take over, take her as maybe in their own mentality as a property. So whatever she owes belongs to the man. So she doesn't have an independent right from their own reasoning. But now, due to modernization and civility, you are now, anybody seeing that clamor for human rights is trying to change the system. Even women are fighting for their rights. The right that women are even more important than men. So even saying that women can do better than a man. So, but in their own time, a woman cannot do better than a man. A woman must always be pigeonholed in the home.
But then, I mean, this is an age-long practice. How then do you enforce it in Igbo land, for instance? I mean, it's been there for a long time. It's outdates, you know, those who are even living now, who are adults, you know. So how does it sound right now in the minds and eyes of people, knowing that they've lived with this for a long time? Do you think there are changes? How would Igbos accept it, being that it's not consistent with their custom, so to speak?
To me, it will be easily be changed because the level of our knowledge has also changed. We have used education to influence our reasoning and line of action. In our own modern world, people are now educated, so they are not seeing any issue in a female child owning any paternity in the chain of assets or their parents because of knowledge. And even that we are still living in traditional way, people that will say that they will die if you for them to see a female child to partake in the sharing of their father's estate. So if even though in some area they will see it as impossible, because in our own tradition, in some locality where you still have the issue of who owns a father's property, you will see the sons fighting among themselves on who will inherit. So the property of a father is not even enough for the sons, let alone trying to join the female ones inside it. So they will hardly accept that decision. They will hardly accept it. But gradually it's penetrating, because of what I'm seeing now. People are not seeing it as a strange decision, right? Even though that presently it's being practiced that only the male child that has the right to inherit their father's estate. But the law is gradually changing that principle.
All right. Mr. Tony, I really don't want to drill into this very, very much, but it's quite interesting. But let me paint this scenario for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could react to it. If a man, you know, dies interstate, for instance, died without a will, and there's a girl that he may have fathered outside his marriage, do you think this law gives that girl an opportunity to own a property in her father's house?
Well, the issue of man and woman and pregnancy is very clear, and then I think the law is quite too clear on that too. If the man owns up that the female child is his.
Mm.
Don't forget that there is an Igbo metaphor that states that
even when he didn't marry the woman,
Nigerian law is the one, once he owns up that he is the father.
What if he's not there, though? Because,
If he's not there and he didn't inform anybody, there's no source or any manner of information as to mean that himself said this to A or B or C or D. No notification about that child. The implication is that the child cannot all of a sudden and surface.
But it happens.
No, it happens. I will even give you an instance. Something that happened last week. But one will be tempted to ask. A lawyer is here.
Mm.
You have courts. You have adjudication bodies all over the place. Whether it's in your home, whether it's in an official, legalized court. Somebody will ask one question. Why didn't you come when this man was available? And it becomes that.
Mm.
Like the one I saw last week, somebody said that a property owned by the father, supposedly owned by the brother, turned out to be his. He brought that document. And the brothers are asking, issue. We all went there. And his siblings now question the document he produced. The question is this. Our mother said that she built this. And our father claimed that this woman is his wife. He owns everything about the woman. Now, how come you didn't present this issue when both parents were alive? You waited until they lived all their decades, all the years of their life on earth, died. And all of a sudden, you brought one small paper written with a pen biro that you are the owner of this property. So you can help me understand what will happen in that such situation.
Hmm.
Good. So how did we resolve that? We said that, one, you had a father, you had a mother, and none of you is stranger to your own family. So if the man and the woman did not call other children to say that you are the owner of this, you can't own it. So since there is no will, it's even better. It can now be shared among you. One of the brothers raised hand and said that he produced all the money for which funeral rights was accorded to their mother and their father. And that in Igbo tradition, this man is claiming to be the head son. But Igbo tradition also states that if you don't perform funeral rites for your dead father or mother, that whatever they own, the person that did that, we own everything belongs to them. It's an issue. He knows it's an issue too.
Is that in an Igbo
tradition? Is an Igbo city? Of course, yes. Of course. So, and we all looked at it and we asked questions. We say, "Oga, now, what do you want us to say in this matter?" That is the most senior brother. This man said he did this. Is it true? He said yes, that he doesn't have money then. He used one metaphor, that Onyaka de Kwania. The man said that if Onyaka de Kwania at that point, then Kemeze Onyume de Zorozi Henya. So can you understand that? So, our people need a good understanding on the level of civilization that exposure and modernity is seeding to every one of us. For the question you asked, if somebody walks up and says that she's my daughter when I'm not there, morality suggests that whatever I did as a man, I should be able to confine into anybody, whether my brother, my sister, or my own very wife. So that when it happens, but people should also discourage this idea of their children keeping to themselves, you know, people they got outside marriage, keeping to themselves until the death of the father. So it's proper. They should do this when they're alive, so that they don't create problem, whether it's a male child or a female child, so that problem are not created. That is just the truth. And you know also that in Igbo land, that once you pay the dowry of a woman, and you don't dissolve the marriage customarily, and tradition states that if she had children with other men, that those children are still yours. The lawyer is here. So there are so many things to be discussed. And if Supreme Court has done one, there is need also to handle so many other family-related issues like the ones they have handled.
Right. Barrister, is that in tandem with the law?
He has just pinpointed several customs, practice in Igbo land, which may or may not be questionable. So a custom is okay. But if there's an issue against that custom, that practice, the Supreme Court or any court will subject that custom to this three test I have laid down. Mm. It's a personal reasoning. So from what you said now, as regarding maybe one of the issue is pointed is the issue as regard, one of the examples you are giving.
Yes.
Can we use one example so that we analyze that custom to know whether it passed that test we have pinpointed?
The one that has to do with the assets.
Asset sharing.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, a father builds some houses.
The person that did the
burial rights of both parents.
The most senior brother came up after the funeral rite and all whatnot. The junior brother spent all the millions to have called their father for the funeral rites with their mother too. And this man surfaced after all that transaction with a small paper and said, I am the owner of this. Whereas all his siblings were claiming that it's not true. It's their father's property. It got to a logic point where people like me felt, okay, no problem. You own this, yes. Now, this man is saying now that you don't own this from his own angle, that he footed the bill for funeral rights of their father and their mother without you, that's claiming heredity. Bringing one kobo or contributing one naira to that process of according their parents' proper funeral rites. So for Igbo tradition, I know, is a universal thing among Igbos. You don't lay claim to the dead that you were not able to accord last respect. So it's an Igbo visit. So let's use that.
So you see, if you can use the test of is this custom you have said now, is it repugnant to natural justice, equity, and good conscience? Whenever a man dies, he is expected to be celebrated and to be buried properly.
Of course.
So if you don't participate in giving him that last respect, under good conscience, you are not entitled, you are not fully entitled to inherit his entire property.
So if the law doesn't cover
the law will not
this aspect,
allow somebody who did to leave what he did not so.
Right, but if the Nigerian law doesn't cover an aspect of tradition, does the tradition take its course on matters like this?
We have what is called native law and custom. They are also part of law.
It's part of law.
Part of law.
Okay.
It's part of law. But that native law and custom can only be validly be practiced in the eyes of the law if it is not against under native law, under customary law. That test of validity, that native law must pass through that validity test for it to be a functional and effective native law. Otherwise, that native law can still be modified as being invalid because it is not compatible, it is repugnant, and it's against public policy. So that test must have effect on it to know whether that native law passed that test I have listed.
Right.
If it is validly made and is not against natural justice, equity, and good conscience, and it is not incompatible with any other statute or laws in Nigeria, that native law will just flow. The law will give it a legal stamp to continue.
All right. So just a final question on this matter, and it's a progressive one. As it stands now, with the Supreme Court's judgment, do you think or feel that women who have been denied of properties in the past can now go back to their father's house or father's property and start laying claims to, or maybe asking their brothers or her brothers to give her some share of what the father left? Do you think that could happen? Can this law accommodate that?
The law will accommodate the properties who are not yet shared.
Oh, so
if it has been shared, and it's got overtaken by event, the law may not allow you what you call statute bad. If the sharing has lasted for so many years,
like how many years?
You cannot at least 10, 12 years.
So if it's not up to 10, so the lady can go back.
Then the property has been shared. Anyway.
So it will be a difficult task if it has been shared.
It'll be a difficult.
But as of a current nature, they should be put in the line of sharing. If the man is no longer available. So it is a privilege to the female children that you still have, that you have possessed that right, equal right with the male child as regard your parents' assets. You have a share, even if you are married to another place. So you see, you may have double
share. From your husband and from your father.
I think the law has upheld that equality in the sharing process between the male child and the female child.
Yeah, it did. And part of the execution process should be that do it when you are alive. Do it when you are alive. I encourage every father to have a will, even if it's conventional, it's not written, but you can call your people and say this, that, whether I'm there or not, this is what should happen. For instance, my own daughter must have a share in my own wealth. No matter how small or big it is, my own very daughter must benefit from that, wherever she is. Because it's the same process that produced the male child. And by the way, the man is the producer, so how can you discriminate against any of your children? So the sense in the Supreme Court decision is human, and it's a simple thing every parent should understand. And let me just use this little opportunity to say that the tradition of paying dowry, like the lawyer stated in commencement of his he mentioned it, but he wasn't in the direction I'm coming. The idea of this dowry thing should be considered, because in one occasion I had a man tell his wife, "My friend, I purchased you. I paid." So there is need for people like the Igwe that said that this thing will not happen while he's the custodian of his people's customs and tradition, to reconsider marital transaction that involves finance. It is considered as, they say, equal wish dowry. I paid. But for my own female children, I am considering seriously whether I would say, yeah, just take your wife, go and wear their wife, and it becomes that. There is need for all these things. Because if the idea of telling a woman that, "My friend, you're not part of this environment," means that you have been sold off. Some people collected money on you and they have sold you off. No matter the guys, anybody, they look at it. It's a transaction. It's financial transaction. So there is need for society to start looking at that. And then marital customary rules, whether conventional or written laws, to even look at it properly. So that if we have a law...
So, from what you are saying now, may even be against natural justice, equity, or incompatible.
Beautiful.
If you start paying dowry, it's a native law, it's a native practice. So some people can challenge whether it is validly in law. for people to be paying dowry for
female children.
Why are you paying? Are you selling off? Are you buying? So that can be a practice that can be questioned by law for the court to interpret whether that dowry is necessary, is incompatible or repugnant.
Or should parties go ahead and wed themselves if they agree?
So that question can be questioned under federal law by the court.
All right. We're going on a short break. When we come back, we have reactions live on the air. We are live on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/Urban Radio Enugu. Stay with us. This is Prime Time. Welcome back. This is Prime Time on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. Phone lines are open. Just to add this, look, this wasn't planned. The topic was supposed to be something else, but because of this Supreme Court judgment, we needed to put that in because of the fact that it touches on the very fabric of our culture and tradition. So we needed to just put that up. But gentlemen, I'm sure I'm going to invite you guys next week for that topic that I gave you earlier. So phone lines are open. Let's go. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening, Charles.
Your name and location?
It's Okore from Enugu.
Go ahead, Okore.
Yes, for me, I disagree with the Supreme Court judgment. All the while, I have been seeing men who are rich, who always, who always give out things for their daughter, but not the level of sharing. I believe that two major reasons why people born their children is one, to have people that will take care of them after their death, and again, to retain that very family. And we know that women are not good in that retaining family name. So if we say that women should, any woman that wants to share with his brother should remain in that family and not be married out.
Hello. I mean, this is a Supreme Court judgment, and yes, all please. Customs and tradition actually bows please, to the Supreme
that,
Court, that, the Court of the
that, Land. That's let me make my point. See, you know, the barrister in the studio is talking of equity and justice and whatever he mentioned. I'm still talking on that thing of equity and justice. For example, if a woman is married to a far place, and she was born here in Enugu, and she married to Anambra or Delta or anywhere, and she will come from there. And you know, whenever the sharing will take place, it will include maybe your village land and all of these things. So the person will come from Anambra or from Delta, you come to share your native business. We are sowing a seed that will not come out easily. So I didn't even trust even Supreme Court or Senate or even the president. Oh, so wow. I don't have any confidence in anything they are doing.
All right.
That is my stand. Okay. So thank you.
Wow. All right. That's your position. It's okay. Chikezie Obasi is on the line. Chikezie, good to have you.
Oh, good evening, Chizzy. Good evening, Barrister. Good evening, the guests in the house. You know, this is a very serious matter. Chizzy, the big question is this. Let's look at this matter clearly. Land is owned by Omonna and Igbo land, not necessarily by individuals. What individuals actually hold it and trust for the children. Now, the issue is that each village has a demarcation of the distance you can actually encroach. Now, the big question is this. How would the average Igbo man, forget about the rhetorics of the court, how would the average Igbo man reconcile that a person from outside, bear in mind that when a woman marries out from Igbo land, she belongs to the new family, even by her own tradition. She has a lot to do with the new family. How would she now inherit that new land of Igbo man? As for the man's wealth, as for the man's other properties, we can well out. The land is a box. That's not a problem. But where the problem lies is, how does that Igbo land tradition in the village, how do you share it and include that woman? Where out the issue, that land is a property of the community or a property of Omonna, which makes it exclusive property that will not be shared by another person. So it becomes a problem. I want the barrister in the house to please help us. And then tell us how this will not be in a very serious lockdown with the custom and tradition of the people and how we can avoid the crisis.
All right. Thank you so much for that comment. I'm sure that the barrister would respond to that. Let's take this call. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Barrister Nwabuku.
Barrister Nwabuku.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome.
Yes, I want to thank the brother there in the studio and the other in the studio. You know, like the last caller said, this is a very, very important issue and we be very careful how we discuss it and how we conclude it. Like the last speaker said, our elders are wise. The reason for the tradition is not to discriminate against women. But basically, the idea that a woman can be married out of the family, and if she's married out of the family, she may not inherit what we call the homestead or annuity of the family, which belongs to Omona or the community. Now, that is the idea. There is no Igbo tradition that says that women should be disinherited from their father's property. That is not true. There is no Igbo tradition like that. The only tradition is that if it has to do with annuity or the homestead of the man, now a woman who will be married away from the family may not be allowed to share in that particular land so that she cannot come from her husband's house and then share in a land that belongs to a community. In an instance where which the woman may be married outside that family, outside the community. That is the idea. Now, in the issue of fundamental rights, we should also be very careful how we trifle with our traditions. Because the same law, Section 42, that preaches non-discrimination, the same law, the same constitution, and also the same law that makes law against homosexuals and bisexuals in Nigeria, the same law is still discriminating against homosexuals in Nigeria. So we should be careful how we trifle with our constitution, our tradition. As per the decision of the Supreme Court, they have decided, and they are the highest court of the land. Nobody can do anything about it. The decision of the Supreme Court stands, despite whatever anybody views about it. It's the highest court of the land, and the decision stands. However, we should be careful, because issues of tradition are very, very important to any given community. Thank you.
All right. Indeed. We should be careful. Hello?
Good evening, Charles.
Good evening, Obina. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I disagree with the Supreme Court. No Igbo man, I repeat, no Igbo man take female child. I'm not saying. Any man that had money, I used to see, they give their female child either motor, houses, or so and so forth. How do you marry these two issues that somebody that married outside the state that will come from Imo or Abia or Yoruboja to come back to enter the village and start dragging a land with his male people? How can we marry these two things? Supreme Court did not see anything wrong on Sharia law. Why Nigeria law is superior to every other law in the land? Supreme Court has not seen that Sharia law. We always go outside what Nigeria law says. We Igbos should be very careful. We Igbos should be very careful how we treat our issues here. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. Gentlemen, we're back to you. It doesn't look like this time slot will be enough for this discussion. All of the calls, and maybe even more, just against this. Barrister, how do you react to what you've heard so far?
Anyway, the only thing is that the Supreme Court just made a general statement that a female child possesses a right to inherit properties of her father. There's a difference between right of inheritance and what to be inherited. You know, in our native law and custom, we know how to share some assets of a parent. Like now, the eldest child inherits the Nkoro, and we have also Aniji. So we have all this in the native laws. We have method of sharing under native law and custom. So that custom that says the eldest child inherits in Nkoro, the female child cannot come and contend with Nkoro. But the Supreme Court is seeing a situation where there are other assets of a father, which is beyond Nkoro, which is beyond
Iji.
Aniji, which is beyond the Unota. Because Unota, okay, the mother's kitchen, is owned by the youngest of the male children. So that customs are valid. But if the man goes further to have other properties, apart from these known customs, that is where the female child has a right to be, to partake in the sharing. So the Supreme Court did not abolish our native law and custom entirely. But it tries to make people understand. Our issue is with the people, not the custom. Because you will see some persons trying to own everything. Fighting against, you want to own the land, you want to own the Nkoro, you want to own the Unota, you want to own the energy, you want to own other estates.
Everything.
That is where the question lies. That is why the law says no. Other people are possessing that right to partake in the inheritance, not only you. That is the angle the Supreme Court is coming from. Not in the angle that is saying that you should come and can the. So the angle they are coming from is to curtail excessive desire for inheritance. That other people possesses the right to partake in inheritance. That is the generality of what the law is all about. And our under the human rights, that custom is being upheld. Don't discriminate against anybody. If there are sufficient properties to be shared, share it among those who are your siblings. Not a one-man business. That is the mindset in which the Supreme Court is using to put things in order. And you know that somebody was talking about Sharia law and the Islamic. Our problem is that we are the one that is having the problem. That it is only when their own comes to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court will now make a decision on it. But in our own land, we are always fighting from high courts to a court of appeal, from a court of appeal to the Supreme Court. But in the Islamic world, they are seeing their custom as their behavior, as their culture. So right. they hardly protest because they are seen as their way of life.
Right.
So that's the difference between us and them.
We have to leave it here. Many thanks for your time, Barrister Mujogu, Alex, and of course, Mr. Tony Wachuku. It's been a while. I mean, I hope we're going to be seeing you more often going forward.
Well, the Nigerian project is a serious project.
Right.
And then approaching leaders of political parties is no common tea for everybody.
Right.
So it's a serious business we are into. So anytime you see me, I'm available. I always come around.
Right. All right.
Please, I enjoy your Bonaboy.